You're listening to episode number 483 of the 360 Vegas Podcast. Check out the blog at 360vegaspodcast.com or send us an email at 360vegaspodcast@gmail.com. Get early and sometimes exclusive access to all things 360 Vegas, including 35 episodes of Vintage Vegas, 47 anti-ups, 86 Vegas cocktails, and lots more with a $7 per month subscription to Patreon. That's patreon.com/360vegas. Join the conversation on Discord with dedicated chats covering all things 360 Vegas. It's free to join, and an invite to our server can be found at 360vegaspodcast.com.
Day after tomorrow, gentlemen, we'll be in Las Vegas.
Welcome to Vegas.
Las Vegas functions on a 24-hour-a-day schedule.
The pools, the casino.
Big volcano out in front.
That's the Eiffel Tower.
Bellagio. Riviera.
The Mirage.
Flamingo. Sahara.
The MGM Grand.
This isn't the real Caesar's Palace, is it?
I want to gamble.
They always put the machines that pay off the most right in the front.
Good luck.
Strip is just the most amazing stretch of road, I think, probably anywhere in the world.
Kicking ass in Vegas.
Vegas, baby.
Vegas, baby.
Welcome to Las Vegas.
It is finally starting to warm up.
It's finally starting to warm up, yeah. Somebody told me the other day, like, oh, it was beautiful out. I'm like, no, it's acceptable out. I'm like, we this should be our low.
Although
this is what we should be striving for. 80 should be the low for the day.
If it wasn't, so we got, what, up to 85 yesterday, low 80s today. If it wasn't for the wind, I would say that I would be sitting out by the pool.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That is true dedication to this weather.
Oh, it's beautiful. And it's going to drop like a rock now. Because over the weekend, we're supposed to... It's just
only for a couple days, though. Then it's supposed to get back to the 80s.
But still, when the weekend has the shitty weather,
that's... Get back into the 90s in May, so we get some... Yeah, try and get some triple digits in there.
Ugh, and that's where you lost me. Speaking of other places where you lost me, triple time now is the over-under on Karen's 5.5 Scorpion radar.
Yep. That was, and this one was, it was so funny. I was sitting in the kitchen at the island doing some work on my laptop, and I hopped down off the chair and turned towards the sink, and all of a sudden I see this little thing just scurrying towards me, and it was tiny. I mean, it was a little itty-bitty baby, which Tony can't see me because I'm holding up and can't see it.
Yeah, no, I can see it. I see.
Oh, you could.
But
okay.
That's still too big. Your fingers, your thumb and... Forefinger and thumb are still far too far apart from one another.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on. I think we need to have a heart-to-heart with our pest control guy. Oh, and on top of it, and I didn't even post about this. Oh, my God. The other morning, I get up and I'm in the shower. And, you know, I'm facing away from the shower head, right? For whatever reason, I turned around and there was this gigantic water bug cockroach thing right in the middle of the wall, right underneath the shower head. And I, like, of course, freaked. And then I'm yelling for Mark and telling him to come bring a shoe. And I don't know where that fucker came from, but I'm wondering if there isn't some... Because, you know, they say with those kind of bugs, if you see one, there's 500
sure.
more you don't see.
Sure.
So I'm wondering if that somehow is tied into the scorpion problem.
I mean, something's getting in somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Through the vents, you know what? To what degree, if any, do you blame your doggy door?
I mean, you hear...
I doubt there's a little freeway of scorpions coming in through the doggy door.
And that door is magnetized on the bottom. So they could climb in along the sides through the flaps because there is a gap. It could be, but I don't know. I mean, but I never see any of them out front by the doggy door. Pretty much all of them that I see are back in the kitchen family room area.
Right.
So
okay.
I don't know.
They're coming in from the, which would make sense because that's where your pool is, and if they're attracted to the water, from the pool, that certainly is illogical. But okay, I'm done with this conversation. Mark, our beloved Tropicana. WT Huff, is there any chance it's going to get saved before demolition?
No, no God, way. No. Not a chance.
No, no, no. They're already starting, working, doing stuff with it. So, no, it's a done deal.
That was really just a tease, a lead-in for Mark.
Oh, I felt like we had already covered enough of an intro conversation. We could save that.
Okay. That we will, listeners. That we will. Well, then let's start the show. He's Mark, she's Karen, I'm Tony. And as always, we start with Random Vegas.
Nick Mazzolo. You may not know his name, but you certainly know his work. Nick was cast as a table games dealer in three blockbuster titles, Rain Man in 1988, Casino in 1995, and Vegas Vacation in 1997.
Was he the guy that did the left hand, right hand at the...
No, he did War.
Oh, he did War. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay. He plays a blackjack dealer in Rain Man and in Casino, and in Vegas Vacation he plays a war dealer.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Where did that fun little bit of trivia... That actually, strike that. Let me try that from a different angle. Man, Mark, that is really random. Where did that little bit of
I actually have to give J-Dubs credit for it. He mentioned, he was like, have you ever done a random Vegas about Nick Mazzolo? And I'm like, shit, I don't think I have. It's one of those things that I've known for a long time. I just don't think I ever made a point to highlight.
That's amazing. Next up is the Twit of the Week.
In a picture that looks like it was taken on the pool deck of the plaza years before it existed, this picture, shared by @FSELV, definitely captures the best the Las Vegas club ever looked, years before her transformation into a faux baseball stadium on the roof. All the of Fremont Street was sexy as hell during the 60s, before Golden Nugget absorbed the entire city block they occupy today, back when the Lucky Club and the California Club shared the space. But you can't see that in any of this, so let's wrap that up by saying we have the Golden Gate here with its signage looking dapper as ever, still sporting the Hotel Sal Segev signage.
I could stare at this for fucking ever, man.
It is the best.
Holy shit.
Yeah, the best Las Vegas club ever looked.
I can't even believe that's the same place.
I know, right?
Isn't that unbelievable? That is unbelievable.
Well, it's similar to Golden Nugget. Like, think about how different Golden Nugget used to look before its current incarnation. I mean,
I would need a side-by-side
there's
picture.
There's just so much neon in this picture, though.
Well, and that's what's crazy about it to me is, so right over the Las Vegas Club, they've also got a sign for the dugout. They have famous food. Mm-hmm. And it's like this pink... Almost like a crown ribbon? Is that what you call it?
Yeah, good way to describe it, yeah.
I believe it chases.
Oh. That's even more cool.
Well, and is that a train? What is just above the dugout? It goes Hotel
like
H-O-T-E.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
And there's something, yeah. But just, man, there's so much history in this picture.
It's crazy.
I love it. You can see the mint. The hotel, I should say.
Yeah.
Right.
It's crazy what the Las Vegas club then morphed into.
Right.
Because I only remember it with, like, the stadium-looking exterior.
Right.
So different from this.
I agree. I actually think Golden Nugget looks better in its previous incarnation. So, like, I think we have a modern-day equivalent of it. And while I still think Golden Nugget looks good, I just think it looked better.
Sure, I see where you're coming from.
That's a cool picture.
That's a great find. Excellent pick, man. As always, we will link to the photo on our blog, feature on all of our social media outlets such as Flickr, Pinterest, Facebook, and Twitter. Let's get into the news. The news is brought to you by Vegas Near Me. If it's fun to do or see, it's on Vegas Near Me. It's available free on Android and iPhone. And you can use the search term 360VV14 to get a listing of the properties that we will be featuring at the 360 Vegas Vacation.
The book, Like an Onion, The Vegas Skim, is the most succinct telling of the mob's time in Vegas that we've ever read. It cuts through all the myths and gives you the details of organized crime's time in the city. It specifically focuses on how the mob stole money before it was reported as earnings to the IRS and how it worked until it didn't anymore. Learn how the mob controlled the entire operation with a single point man whose job it was to make sure that the skim ran as smoothly as possible. This masterpiece is a quick read and very much worth every moment you put into it. Like an Onion, The Vegas Skim is available now on Amazon.com.
All right, this story, well, let's get into it and then I'll pontificate. Love ends.
I don't like your tone already.
No. I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised.
All right. I want to say that I'm sore on this one. This one's punches close to the heart. After 18 years, it was announced this week that the Cirque du Soleil production of Beatles Love is closing at the Mirage July 7th of this year. If you have not had a chance, we highly recommend you check this out before it closes. Cirque made sure to clarify that this wasn't their decision. Hard Rock pulled the plug. The move was said to make sense because the renovations being done to the property would have required the show to go dark anyway. The production has no plans to tour, but probably because of the complexity of traveling with a stage like that.
Yeah, you couldn't.
Yeah. A total of 230 members of the cast will be out of jobs as a result of the shutdown. To be fair, the production has reportedly been underperforming 40-60% capacity, making it the lowest performing Cirque show in Vegas. The Mirage sold 11.5 million tickets over the 18-year run. And so here's the problem, is that I still don't see any apparent progress beyond the Players Club card, what they're doing at Mirage, except closing things. And they've closed Stack. The Burger Place is closed now. I think it doesn't matter. It just seems like all they're doing is closing stuff. When are we going to get a joint on the strip? When are we going to actually get something that looks like they've been doing stuff to it?
So, obviously, this is a process, right? They had to get the designs done on what exactly they wanted to do. They had to get it all permitted, which is probably the process they're going through right now.
Mm-hmm.
And in prep for that, there are some things that they can start doing on the areas that are going to be the most affected.
Right.
And so closing Stack is probably one of those situations. Love isn't going to close until July, so they've got some time there. But yeah, eventually they're actually going to have to start construction on something.
Right.
And I don't know if it's the permitting process, because
yeah, it's not even clear if the property's going to stay open or closed during renovations.
Right.
I mean, it's...
Well, and I know we're going to talk about it a little bit, but with the renderings or the model that they've just released, it looks to me like that tower looks massive, and I just wonder if they're running into permitting issues with the height to get it.
I don't see why. I mean, we're gonna get to it. You're getting ahead of us.
Well, I can't help it. It's all part of the same conversation. Right. You should have put it all together.
It's two different things. Love closing and then this new model. It's
well,
two different things.
You're the one that started talking about Mirage and they're not doing anything.
Well, I was excited about it. It's the point I'm trying to get to. Anyways, back to my point. Yes, I know that we're gonna lose the volcano and you haven't taken that away yet. But honestly, what's the holdup? I was informed that there would be a guitar, and so far I see no progress.
There would be a guitar.
I don't see any trace of even the beginning of development on that. Now, planning documents submitted to the county show renovations planned to the existing Mirage footprint include adding 60,000 square feet of existing live theater space, 6,500 square feet of retail, and 60,000 square feet of ballroom space. August 1st is the supposed start date for those projects. Even those are still all behind the scenes.
There you go. You got your answer on when stuff's going to start happening.
But when's it going to look like it? They've been doing...
It's going to take years.
It's been 2 years.
So it's for this kind of a renovation and the projects they're doing, yeah, it takes a while to plan all that shit out.
Yeah.
I want a guitar building now.
That's right. That's right.
So my only contribution to this conversation is simply to say this is a true loss for Las Vegas. I liken the loss of Love to the equivalent of losing Siegfried and Roy. It was a staple. Everybody knew about this show in Las Vegas. And so to lose this, I think Vegas is losing a really big, to the best of my knowledge, really good show So
that's right. You've never seen it, have you?
I have not. I have.
Oh wow.
He's not a Beatles fan. The only thing I give less of a shit about than the Beatles, Cirque du Soleil. So for me personally, I'm only sad that it's gone, because it's one of those things where, as much as I hate it, I gotta agree with so many people on Twitter that say, don't fall in love with anything in Las Vegas. It will eventually, right, you know, be gone.
It's just disappointing. I thought that the two made sense. I mean, well, when you see how long Mystere is at TI, yeah, ever since they left, I'm like, Beatles love makes sense at the Hard Rock.
It did. Mm-hmm. But and they just signed, I think the thing that bothers me is they just signed late last year a 3-year extension.
I think she got fired for saying or reporting that.
You know, then they pulled it. So
yeah,
I don't know. Makes me sad. Yeah. Although we did decide to get off our asses and we have
tickets. We're gonna go see it one more time.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Good for you guys. Very cool. Well, then I guess that does roll in nicely to the next topic though, which is the Hard Rock model.
After the announcement that Love was closing, a model of the plans for the property currently known as the Mirage were revealed, and if this model is to scale, we learned a few things. First, the Guitar Hotel is much larger than we originally anticipated, in a good way. It's so large that...
she said.
Right. It's so large that the Porcachor will reside underneath it like Luxor and the Sphinx. Also, it appears that the Hard Rock has plans to move their pool towards the front of the property off the strip.
Or build a second one.
Lastly, and this would be news to us, there appears to be a pedestrian walkway located in front of the property where it intersects with Harrah's across the street. This would be a most welcome information if that, in fact, is going to happen, as the model seems to insinuate. As alluded to in the previous story, still no word on when construction on these plans will begin or when they expect to be done, which is frustrating because even the stadium, which some people don't think are gonna, you know, is gonna actually happen, at least has some of those dates.
I said earlier, this tower looks massive to me.
But it doesn't look any bigger than Fountain Blue.
I think it's just the scale of it next to the existing Mirage Tower.
I agree, Karen.
I think you're
absolutely right.
Yeah. And at first, like, when I read over Mark's notes or saw the comments on this that he thought they were going to move the pool, I'm like, that's stupid. Why the hell would you do that? And I think, as we were talking about it, I don't think they're going to move it. I think they may be adding a strip frontage, day, night, beach, pool club kind of thing like Wynn and Encore have.
Mm-hmm.
So, as another draw, I don't mind the renderings. Again, it's one of those things like the soft spot in your heart. It's sad to see the Mirage not going to be the Mirage anymore, but
I just think I'm resigned to that fact now. So yeah. It's like let's I want to see some progress here. I've already accepted that you're gone. So let's see what you got for us. I'm excited about the concept of a giant fucking Guitar Hotel. I'm excited about the idea of a joint on the strip and getting those rock residencies that the Hard Rock used to be able to pull in. I'm excited about Hard Rock memorabilia being all over the place. Like I'm excited about the potential of this property. I haven't been excited about a property since probably Circa. Like I don't know why. I didn't get fired up for Resorts World or Fountain Blue, but I just didn't. And this one, for some reason, has me excited.
I got fired up for Fountain Blue just to have it done and to not have it be that eyesore. But obviously, I was very much underwhelmed going into it. But I also don't know that I had super high expectations.
Mm.
So this is a very unique ad, which I think with Resorts World and Fountain Blue, they were just big fancy buildings. This, and I know there's other guitar hotels that they've already built.
I think there's only one.
It's in Florida.
One down in Hollywood, Florida.
Yeah.
I don't care, but Karen, I'm team you on that comment, though. That's a really astute observation. Finally, Vegas, you're building something worth looking at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something that it is still unique. I know there already is one, but it's not just another big, pretty building.
Right. Yeah. Agreed.
Great observation.
Thank you.
This is a really neat lawsuit. The Spearmint versus Peppermint.
The Spearmint Rhino is suing the Peppermint Hippo, claiming the name infringes on their copyright. I can attest that I thought that they were the same company, just different locations. The suit alleges more inappropriate behavior from former Spearmint CEO and current Peppermint CEO, Alan Chang. In response, Chang mockingly responded, "In the wild, hippos and rhinos coexist. Why not in Vegas?" As a reminder, the Peppermint Hippo existed on South Park before it did in Vegas. South Park might actually have more of a claim to this than the Spearmint Rhino.
Oh, that's right. Was that the one with the when all the girls were dressing up like strippers?
Well, yeah, they were at a strip club.
But the elementary school girls.
No, that was Raisins.
Right. Oh, that's
Raisins
right,
is for the little kids. Peppermint Hippos for the adults.
Too funny. Yeah, I get them confused all the time. I couldn't tell you which one's which.
Right.
It's fair. You know, I will be the first to concede intellectual property law is not my forte. So, potential malpractice warning ahead of you folks that don't take what I'm about to give you as legal advice. But the whole concept, Mark, behind copyright law is it similar enough that it could confuse the average consumer to think? Yeah.
And
that
I think they're onto something.
Is that?
Yeah.
And you're right. It would make sense that your first very big popular spot was Spearmint Rhino, and now we're going to open up a chain, and we're going to call it Peppermint Hippo.
Yeah.
You know, that's a fair. Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah.
Well, and especially when the new company has the former CEO of the old company at the helm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're just.
Yeah, I think they got a case. I think they got a case.
All right, what's going on with this bait and switch?
Bodo Vegas did a report about something you need to be concerned about. Most casinos give you 180 days to redeem your ticket in, ticket out. Well, that time frame isn't set in stone. It isn't legally required to be that long. And some casinos, like Westgate, have changed their expiration to only 120 days. It's going to get worse. Properties like Circus Circus, El Cortez, Ellis Island, and Plaza only give you 60 days. And worst of all is Golden Nugget and Treasure Island, which only gives you 30 days to redeem your money for actual money. Again, there's nothing illegal about this, although it does kind of feel like something that legislation should get off their ass and address. So the moral of the story, unless you're prepared to boycott these properties, is make sure that you regularly check your expiration dates and frequently cash in your ticket in, ticket out. In fairness, it's important to reiterate that casinos only get 25% of abandoned ticket in, ticket out. The rest of the money goes to pay state income tax. But that's not how we want to get your money. We want it the honest way, where we mathematically will beat you at games that you, for some reason, will still play.
Yeah, I think this is a buyer beware kind of thing, right? You got to make sure you're paying attention and know what the rules are where you're gambling, because heaven forbid you fly home and realize I still have a ticket that I haven't cashed in.
Yeah, especially for, like, the thing I don't like about it is, like, I always thought for the frequent visitor, I'll be able to get it next time. Like, I always thought that was a cool thing. Like, not like, damn it, I fucking forgot to cash this out, now I'm screwed.
Right.
I agree. Now it's been a few years. I'm even gonna say it's probably been pre-COVID, so your mileage may vary, kids. But I was able to take a California, Fremont, Tito up to the cashier, and it was past its expiration date,
yeah.
And they still cashed it for me. And it wasn't a lot of money, to be very, very clear. It was. $30, $50, something. I mean, it was, let me put it this way. If they would have said no, sir, and they would have pointed to the void after, 120 days,
yeah.
I wouldn't have fought it. But they were very nice about it. They said, okay, hold on, I just got to get my manager to approve this, and they cashed it out. So again, your mileage may vary on.
Right, right.
Well, that happened not that long ago to me. Sometime last year, I had a, believe it or not, I had a Cosmo Tito. And so, with the frequency that I went to Cosmo, I never cashed out my Tito's because it was just kind of my Cosmo gambling money, right? And I think it was shortly after I started working, I wasn't going down to Cosmo as much. So we finally go down there, and I'm trying to cash out there.
That's awesome. Once I got a job, I couldn't go to
the casino. But I was trying to put it in a machine to play, and it wouldn't take it. And I thought, well, this is weird. So I took it up to the cashier, and it was expired by, like, 4 days. And I was like, oh, shit, I can't believe I did that. And I was kind of like you, Tony. I'm like, ugh. I can't believe I just like lost this money, and they went ahead and cashed it for me too. So, I think that is it doesn't hurt to ask kind of a situation.
For sure. And the nicer you are about it, the more inclined the cashier is going to want to be to.
Absolutely.
Cash.
Yeah. Yeah.
It pays to be nice. It's amazing how much mileage that gets you.
Yep. Yep.
Some of us deal with anxieties. All right.
Well, that's why you send me to go cash out shit.
That's right. What's going on with this Ellis Island expansion?
Ellis Island is literally knocking down walls to expand its gaming footprint. The expansion will include the 2,800 square feet the microbrewery occupied and will give them an additional 6,415 square feet of property. The project is expected to take 8 to 10 months to complete. Oh, no. There's a group of guys that worked on this project called Durango. We can get this done for you way quicker than that.
Ellis Island is
good for them. I mean,
you got one more roll point.
No, I dropped it.
Oh, well, not on my copy. Did you also drop? That's funny. Did you also drop this CNS B bullshit line from your script as well?
No, I just bailed on it.
Oh, okay, very good. That's sometimes I roll with it when you drop it, and sometimes I'm like, well, I don't know if he thinks that that's relevant or not. That's funny. Listen, I'm excited. I love that this tiny, it's not going to be tiny much longer, but at present day,
you've got
this tiny little casino that's built this kick-ass brewery right on the spot. They took over a Super 8 motel that had been next to it. Like, these guys are killing it.
Yeah, good for them.
This tiny little family running it, and I couldn't be more thrilled for them. This is just the Ellis Island is legitimately and honestly a place that I would love to spend just two nights at, because I don't really want to, since it's off strip, I probably wouldn't leave the property for as long as I was there. So it would be worth get checked in sometime in the afternoon, have two nights there, and then check out to move somewhere else afterwards. But
right.
I dig them. I think their beer is great. I think they give you a hell of a fair, more than fair gamble being just a block off the strip. I have nothing but the highest respect for them.
I don't know that I would necessarily want to stay there. I do. I like the casino. I like their limits. I like the front yard, you know, that they put in. So they're doing a lot of really great things. I don't know that I'd want to stay there because exactly as you said, Tony, they took over Super 8. So I don't know that that would be high on my places to spend a couple nights.
I respect that. Next up, Nevada opposes funding stadium.
Surprising almost no one. In a recent poll, it revealed that 52% of Nevada residents oppose public funding going towards funding the A's baseball stadium. Only 32% support, and the rest are undecided. The biggest opposition is Schools Over Stadium Group. It is said that lobbyists are trying to fight to keep this off the ballot. I've said it before, I don't have a problem with public funding going to build these stadiums, but not a baseball stadium, because it's not going to get it's not going to be repurposed. It's not like like the football stadium where they've got big concerts in there and other sporting events that go in there. Yeah, shit like that. You know, or T-Mobile where you've got concerts and same thing, you know, all sorts of other things in there. Baseball stadiums, baseball just does baseball. That's all they really do. Like, no one's going to else.
They have done other concerts in baseball stadiums. I remember...
Elton John and Billy Joel twice in Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, they can host them. I think it's...
They don't.
I don't think it's a preferred venue, let me put it that way.
I wouldn't want to go see it. Well, we actually saw Destiny's Child in a baseball stadium, in a minor league baseball stadium.
We did?
Yeah.
When did we see them?
A long time ago, back in Columbus, Ohio.
Oh.
Back when Destiny's Child was still a thing.
Right, yeah.
Right.
Before Beyonce became the Queen Bee.
Stepped out and said, I don't need these two anymore.
Right.
I don't agree with the public funding for this. And I think it's more of I don't want to give that shit owner anything.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I do have an issue with, so, you know, being in Nevada, there's a huge chunk of money supposedly generated by both the casinos and by the cannabis industry that is supposed to be going to fund schools. Mm-hmm. And we still have this shittiest school district in the country,
right,
here in Clark County. Again, we don't have kids, so it doesn't really affect us, but these are the people that potentially are going to be making decisions for us in the future. And I don't know where the funding is coming from. So I don't have an issue with the lawsuit that they're filing. I do think it's funny that they're trying to keep this off the ballot when, again, public sentiment is so very much against it.
No.
So it just, welcome to how dirty politics works.
Listen, obviously the guy who gives no shits about any sort of sports ball is gonna take a position one way or the other. But let me take it from a Vegas there's a word I'm looking for. Man, the older I get,
experience,
the harder certain words are, mm-hmm, to come to me. As a Las Vegas nostalgia. Let's go with nostalgia. I like that.
Okay.
I think that'll do it well. I guess, much like the Riviera, I would sure hate to have the Tropicana imploded for nothing to happen.
Yeah.
Right. I agree.
If at least funding makes the A's stadium become a thing so that the demolition of the Tropicana is not for naught, then in that instance, I guess I would support it. Conceptually, I don't really support these sorts of uses of taxpayer dollars for,
right,
well,
you know, this sort of aspect. But
I think the difference in this site, the Tropicana site, versus what happened with the Riviera is location. There's no way that nothing is going to be built on this corner.
Oh, I disagree with you there.
Bally's, it's going to be somebody else. If Bally's can't come up with the funds, they're going to be able to sell that site for a shitload of money because somebody will want to build on it.
I don't know about that. They're left out on an island all by themselves. I mean, they're surrounded by competition.
Well, yeah, but it's the busiest corner in the busiest intersection in the country. There's no way that nobody's going to build on that site.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, you're wrong.
Yes. Of the three of us, definitely you're the most qualified to speak up on it.
Well, yeah, who understands real estate values most among the three of us?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. All right.
How about we move along to the next thing, which I don't totally get, which is called Oasis Cinema Club.
It looks like Wynn isn't the only place Fountain Blue is stealing from, because this week the property introduced Oasis Cinema Club, poolside movies. Truthfully, it's a great idea to keep the pool areas populated later in the day when they would otherwise be abandoned. These movies will start playing at 7 p.m. Sundays, starting May 5th, and then every Sunday through September 1st. It's free to guests of the hotel, $5 for locals. Day beds and cabanas are available for considerably more money. Movies scheduled include Barbie, Mean Girls, Ted, and many, many more.
So, Tony, I think what he's referring to is the fact that this is a direct ripoff of dive-in movies at Cosmo.
Yeah.
But I don't see this as that big of a deal. I mean, they have the space. They've got, you know, why shut down the pool at the end of the day and do nothing?
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know that I see this as the same thing as them poaching employees.
Well, I was just being a smartass.
Okay. I mean, I see it as they saw a great idea. They can use their space.
Yeah, it's clever. I mean, it's same thing with holiday stuff. I hope they do some holiday shit.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll put an ice rink up there.
Yeah.
I mean, why not? It works out well for Cosmo. That place is packed all the time.
Right.
All right, that's going to do it for news. Let's go on to Prop Bets. For those of you unfamiliar, Prop Bets is an extension of the news, but with just bits and pieces of noteworthy items. First up, at Politics and Poker is reporting that the addition of the Versailles Tower at Paris is going to start calling their main tower the Bordeaux Tower.
I like it.
Okay.
Theming.
I dig it. Wait a minute. Is Versailles? Oh, yeah, yeah. I dig it. Why not name your towers after
places
in France? That I get it.
I'm pro the theme. I mean, let's go.
I don't know. What'd they call it before?
They didn't. It was just it was their only tower.
Yeah, it's their only tower.
So they didn't have a name for it. Now they need to differentiate.
This is the Paris.
they call it tower.
Right. Ooh, what do you call this tower? Like, the place like where you stay?
In Thailand, they just call it food.
Link has closed its sports book known as, quote, The Book. Sports betting kiosks are now available.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to happen everywhere, right? I mean, mobile gaming is... radically change what a sports book needs to be.
And with with the kiosk though, so that means you would have to be logged into, well, you don't need to be logged into the app, because if you're logged into the app, you could just do it on your phone.
Well, right. No, the kiosk is just for people who don't have the app.
I know, but does it, do they take cash?
I don't.
Otherwise,
I don't,
you've got to have your money to bet. Either you're putting it on your credit card, or you've got to have it loaded on something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of curious.
No. I bet it's a dollar reader, the same way you load dollar bills into, you know, slot machines.
I want to go. I kind of want to go check it out now and just see what it
does. I would love you to. That would be a great FAHE.
Okay, Tony. Thanks for the homework.
Exactly. Get on that, Karen. I'd love to know more about it. Actually, what I really want to know about is, so what happens when they do, so is that now just open space, and did they just remove the counters from beneath the giant screens where most sports books are usually set up, where the folks stand beneath the screen?
I'm not sure. The book was always a real small place in general.
I can't even picture it. I don't even know what it looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be interested.
The Las Vegas monorail confirmed this week that they are still planning to be operational in the near future, which tells us absolutely nothing. That said, the LBCVA will continue to keep it running until the boring tunnels are done, if that happens to be the direction that people want to keep moving in, because progress on that expansion seems to have stalled.
I've said it once on this project. Yes, I'll say it 1,000 times. The monorail in and of itself is a wonderful, wonderful way to get from one place, particularly if you want to go check out Westgate. I think it's absolutely invaluable, is a wonderful way to go out and get to check out Westgate. It's just so obnoxious to get to at damn near literally any property, and I gotta say MGM Grand is certainly the worst.
Yeah.
You know, at least with, say, Bally, well, a Horseshoe, I have a general concept of how to get to it from going down the escalator at Horseshoe, but it's always suffered from just being so horrible to get to that they almost doomed themselves right from the get-go. But I hope they don't. I hope they don't close down. Certainly not, at least until the boring tunnels are functional.
Well, yeah, and this prop bet is kind of, there were rumors going around beginning of the week
that it was going to close.
You know, it was going to close and be dismantled and everything else. Yeah. And then the LVCVA.
I saw Scott snark how if they're denying it, then it must be true.
That was conjecture. I like how this guy puts the puzzle pieces together and then says, that's what's going to happen. I'm like, no, that might happen.
Right. The RJ is reporting that analysts believe Bally's may try to sell the land the Tropicana sits on to finance their Chicago project. The problem is Bally's doesn't own the land. They're leasing it.
So they're trying to sell the lease.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting.
See? Doesn't that sound like something somebody else just said?
Yeah, if somebody would actually read the notes, she'd know that it was coming up.
Oh, no.
Well, if somebody didn't have to work it before they got home to record this show and, you know, didn't have time.
Okay, it seems like a your problem, not a my problem.
It's not a problem for me at all.
I was waiting for it in Eastern Standard Time, so I expected to read it during my work hours.
I unfortunately right now do not have a job that I can afford to take the time to read it during the work hours. Las Vegas Locally is reporting that a man tried to rob the Virgin Mohegan Sun this week. However, after demanding money from the cage, the cashier immediately ran into the back. With no attendant, the alleged would be criminal left.
I just That's like amazing. The idea. In my head, it's that going, and exactly. ran into the back.
There's just a little cloud outline like he's the Roadrunner.
Pew!
The dude's just standing there like, what the fuck do I do?
I know, right? Shit, I didn't plan for this.
I did not think this through.
Vito Vegas is reporting that Particle Inc. is opening at Luxor April 20th. What that is isn't clear. It may be an immersive, interactive exhibit, or it may be a show. I honestly am not sure, and I'm not going to spend 20 minutes to try and decipher what your thing is.
Maybe it's a tattoo shop.
Maybe it's a tattoo shop. That would be a good name for a tattoo shop.
That makes complete sense.
Right. That's the trick. This is just a big, elaborate tattoo shop.
I have no idea, but when you hear the name, that's the first thing that popped into my head.
If you think about it, now, see, this is funny, Mark. You didn't want to spend 20 minutes trying to figure it out, but now we're going to spend 20 minutes pontificating while we're
Yeah, but that's entertaining. So, trust me, it wasn't entertaining to dig into it.
Karen, if you think about how small a particle is in the science realm world, right? That would be the equivalent of one tiny little dot that is the start of
a tattoo.
A tattoo. And it takes up so many particles to make a tattoo image on your body part. See, I think it is.
That was just a throwaway comment, and Tony apparently thinks it was genius.
No, I think you're absolutely. I mean, I always think you're genius.
Oh, thanks.
That's me. This week, also surprising no one at all, it was discovered that Tropicana is riddled with toxic asbestos that will need to be removed from the property before it can be imploded if that will continue to be the plan for demolition.
Isn't that essentially why they don't implode certain buildings, is because that it's full of asbestos, or do they have ways to now take that shit out so they can then implode it once it's done?
I believe, and Tony actually might know this better than I do, they definitely have ways of taking it out, but if you think about where you normally find asbestos in these old buildings, it's wrapped around water pipes and the utility conduits, right? Mm-hmm, so think about how much of that has got to be in this building and where it is buried in the walls and everything else. This is going to be a massive undertaking in and of itself.
Right.
But they can't, if they do want to do an implosion, they can't do that until they take care of this.
Right, that's what I mean. I wonder if the asbestos isn't enough to go, shit, we're not going to be able to implode this. We're going to have to take it apart floor by floor.
Yeah.
For some reason, I vaguely remember there being an interesting quasi-documentary, and I use the word quasi loosely, a quasi-documentary on YouTube somebody put together regarding the Riviera, and that the Riviera had asbestos that had to be removed before they could do the implosion, but I wouldn't put money on that. I drink a lot, so most of my memories are either made up or wiped. The real ones are wiped away.
Absinthe celebrated their 13th year on the Strip this week.
I gotta get off my ass. With Love closing, I gotta get off my ass and go see that show.
You really should. I mean, it's expensive, but it is a really. I was very impressed.
Yeah.
When I went there, and if you liked, what was the one we saw at Cosmo?
OPM.
OPM. This is like that 10 times.
Yeah.
So
that's great.
I don't know. That thing with the big giant head came around the corner, and I'm like, that's that
well,
was red alert.
They don't. They
that
don't
was red
those.
Alert. Is what
yeah.
that happened.
No. That's awesome. They don't.
Well, it's like the mime when we were in like immediately went into the red. Like no, we're not dealing with this. And Mariah Carey added more dates to her Vegas residency at Park MGM's Dolby Live. The new dates will start at the end of July and run through August 10th.
Ugh.
I know, agree, didn't Karen. I swear she had trouble selling tickets before.
She did. The whole like upper level of the theater was like curtained off. So I don't know why. Thus, they just have open dates that they're like, sure, let her do a few more, see what we can sell.
Boyd Gaming has extended its temporary closure of the Eastside Cannery, which is a property that never reopened post-COVID shutdown 4 years ago. The property still retains its gaming license until March 31st, 2025. Boyd Gaming hasn't said much about the property except to say if the sub-market shows demand, they would consider bringing it back online. Mark, what does sub-market mean? How are they defining that?
It's got to be the smaller subset of the locals market. Like I don't know. They've turned being a locals property into a science. So you'd have to have to ask Boyd.
Yeah, my guess is that they would look for demand because all of you know they've got various properties at different parts of the city, and you know depending on, and I don't know how they would determine this, but isn't the cannery in the Henderson area?
No, it's on the east side. It's right next to Sam's Club. Or Sam's Town.
Well, Eastside Cannery insinuates that there's just a cannery, but this one is the
There is. There's a north cannery. There's on the north side there's just the cannery. One that first came out, and then the Eastside Cannery came out like 5 years later. And then they ended up getting bought by Boyd.
Did you guys ever get a chance to check out Eastside Cannery before
It was cute.
Pre-COVID.
It was a little place, but it was cute.
Yeah. Neat. Okay.
Sorry, I got confused. Is that me?
Yeah, it is.
It is me. Okay. MGM Resorts plans to replace 13 dead fir trees in front of the fountains of Bellagio next week. These are the same trees that were replaced the mature trees that resided out front of Bellagio but were cut down to make way for F1 stands. Something that is going to happen again.
Yeah, I just think it's funny. I think it was Scott and his man on the scene that captured that all these things were dead, and then all of a sudden, like the next day, they're like, "Yeah, we've been analyzing these for a long time." And like, going, "Well, clearly not." I mean, if we're the ones that were mocking it, and then all of a sudden you're going to take care of it.
That's amazing. You know what? It's really sad. Is I mean, I am not an arborist. But I would imagine that they would have, they being the MGM Grand Corporation, would have removed those trees from their roots.
Probably.
To save the trees themselves to be able to put back in their spot and have
I'm surprised
alive.
They didn't realize that that would be the PR nightmare that it was. You're just coming down, chopping down trees.
Yeah. Like, Montgomery Burns, are you running this whole thing? Simpsons.
Right. And lastly, it was announced this week that Allegiant Stadium is set to host the NCAA Men's Final Four and Championship game in 2028.
Sweet. I know it's sports ball, Tony, but that will be a very highly attended
big one.
Event.
Especially when you consider how big NCAA is in Vegas in general.
Yeah.
It's like just as the cities start to thin out, we're going to have the Final Four in the championship game here, so that's not going to happen on that year.
Yeah, I mean, we're always busy during, like, that first week of March Madness. That's
right.
When there's, you know,
and it slows down.
Four games on all the time on various channels and everything else.
Right.
But it does slow down as you get through the later rounds of the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a little bit of a pickup for the championship game, but not much. But to have it here is going to be huge.
Yeah.
So...
That's going to do it for news and props. Oh, wow. That was awful. That was terrible. That's going to do it for news and prop bets. Let's move on to coming attractions. Brought to you by Vegas.com is a portion of the show where we share with you acts and artists outside of the usual residencies that will be performing in Vegas in the future. First up is Missy Elliott. She's performing at T-Mobile Arena Saturday, July 13th. Show starts at 7 p.m. and tickets start at $80. That's impressive because I bet you those are some nosebleed seats.
Yeah, I bet.
That people are paying $80 for.
Yeah.
So.
I don't think she's been performing much lately.
No,
so this
not
is,
in a long time.
Yeah,
which
this
is why I'm so
shit. What didn't she come out for Usher's halftime show?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I remember her making a big public appearance at least in the last year or two. I think that's what's spurring this on.
Well, good for her.
Yeah.
Good for her. No, that wasn't sarcastic. I'm serious.
How very southern of you. Good for her.
Bless her heart. DJ Cassidy's Pass the Mic Live, featuring Ja Rule, Fat Joe, Slick Rick, Dougie Fresh, and more, are performing a short-term residency at the Backed Theater at Planet Hollywood. Friday and Saturday, July 5th and 6th, the 12th and the 13th, and the 19th and 20th. Shows start at 8 p.m. and tickets start at $84.
Switchfoot is performing at the theater at Virgin Saturday, August 31st. Show starts at 6:30 p.m. Tickets start at $55.
See, I like that start time, but I think I only know like two songs from them. So
Switchfoot, yeah.
Neo is performing at Encore Theater at Wynn Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, August 7th, 10th, and 11th. Show starts at 8 p.m. and tickets start at $55.
Oh, you gave me a fun name.
Schlesinger.
Eliza Schlesinger?
Yeah.
Schlesinger.
Sure. I have no idea who she is. Is performing at the Chelsea at Cosmopolitan Friday, November 15th. Show start at 8 p.m. and tickets start at $90. Was she the lead singer of the Pussycat Dolls?
No, she's a comedian.
Okay. Oh, the Nicole.
Nicole something or another.
Also starts with an S and is a long last name. Was the lead singer.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Isn't she on the Masked Singer now or something?
I think so.
I don't know.
All right. Don't forget that you can find links to purchase tickets to these and all the artists that we report on our coming attractions calendar on the blog. Let's check the river. Like the five communal cards you get in a game of Texas Hold'em, the river can have anything turn up. So is our river segment. And this week we have some 360 Vegas trivia. Now, this is our opportunity to share our knowledge of Las Vegas history while allowing you to test your skill while you play along at home. This isn't about scores. There are no winners or losers. Just an excuse to talk about Vegas. So, what do we got?
I think I got some good ones for you for this week. Mix of complex and a mix of what I think you guys will be able to.
I was gonna say we might actually have a shot at answering some of these.
I think so. Well, here we'll start off with the first one. Originally known as the MGM Grand, it's been rebranded twice. What are those names?
Oh, come on, Tony, that one's you. That's one of your favorite properties.
It is. I just love the property of pieces. Bally's and Horseshoe.
There you go. All right, the next one I got for you. What was the reason the new MGM Lion got rid of its lion entrance?
Because it was unlucky to Asian gamblers to walk underneath it?
Asian gambler superstition, that's correct. What is the name of the book by Nicholas Pileggia, or I know I just did that wrong, wrote and Martin Scorsese made into a movie starring Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci? What was the name of the book?
Casino, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a trick question. It's Casino.
Tony's turning around and looking at his bookshelf.
He's cheating.
Yeah. I'm like, wait a minute.
You're straight up cheating is what you're doing.
That was a trick question because my first thought was Casino, and then I'm like, well, that was the name of the movie. He said the name of the movie, so why wouldn't it be the name of the book?
Yeah, that's why I specifically reiterated the book because it's meant to be a trick. Yes.
That's not nice.
What do you mean it's not nice? You got it right anyway. What was the original name of Jackie Gunn's plaza? Ooh.
Oh, it was named after the train.
It had something to do with trains, didn't it?
Yes. As soon as he says it, I'm going to be like, yep, that's right.
Union something Plaza.
Trains. Union Plaza.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yep.
We were halfway there, Tony.
Yeah.
We had the gist.
Yes, we were.
I would totally give you...
I like these. We actually have a sporting chance with these trivia.
Right. Thank you.
What was the name of Main Street Station before it was named Main Street Station? It's actually had three different names. I just need you to pick one of them.
One of them still had Station in it, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But if it wasn't Main Street Station... I don't know. I know there's one that another one that had Station in it, but I don't.
It was Church Street Station is what you're thinking of.
Okay.
It was also known as Park, and it was known as the Holiday International.
Oh, those last two I didn't know.
Yeah, that one I didn't know at all.
I knew.
Yeah, that property, that location has failed for a long time before Boyd got a hold of it.
That's amazing. That's amazing that all of those places have been that, but I assume, and tell me if I'm wrong, Mark, they've it's never been changed. Isn't the inside, the interior of Main Street Station, what it's always been?
No. Once Church Street Station took it over, when okay. Boyd took it over and renamed it Main Street, they kept all the stuff that was in there.
So it started okay. with kind of the station theme when it was Church Street Station, and then Boyd just continued.
And then Boyd continued it. Correct.
Oh yep. man.
Okay. What was Tony Spilotro's nickname?
Wasn't it the ant?
The ant, yes. Short for piss ant.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
That would have been... There's your trivia question. Everybody knows Spilotro to be called the ant, but what was that an abbreviation of?
Right.
That's fascinating. Piss ant.
Yep.
All right.
The newspapers didn't want to print piss ant all the time, so they just printed ant.
So basically, he was a little piss ant, and that's how he got his...
That's
his
yeah. The FBI guys referred to him. The G-men that were trying to fuck with him, you know, to get him to slip up, you know, would antagonize him by calling him a piss ant. But in the papers, they couldn't say piss ant, so they just said ant.
So that came from the G-men. That didn't come from the mob.
No,
that wasn't a nickname.
The mob didn't name him that. What was Sam Rosenthal's nickname? Or no, sorry, Sam Rothstein's nickname.
A little Ford and slip there.
Yeah, that's a yeah. What was Sam Rothstein's nickname?
Rosie? I don't know.
Ace. Sam Ace Rothstein.
Geez. Oh, of course.
Yeah. That's
good one.
Sticking on the same theme, who did the Teamsters give a $62 million loan to so that he could buy the Stardust, Hacienda, Marina, and Fremont casinos?
Yes, that was.
This is where the casino ownership and the casino ownership has never stuck in my brain. So I.
Well, this guy.
I'm sure if you hear you once you say the name, I'm gonna know it.
Yeah,
I don't even know where to start.
It's famous just because I mean the guy. It's the most that anybody had ever bought. You know, since Hughes. I mean, somebody came in and bought four casinos.
I don't know. Like I said, as soon as you say the name, yeah. I'm gonna be like,
it's
oh,
Alan
yeah,
Glick.
I've
heard of him. Right.
Alan Glick.
Oh yeah. Yep. No, I wouldn't have. I don't even think I recall that name. So.
No. All right, I got three more for you.
Okay.
What was the name of Joe Pesci's character in the movie Casino?
That's you, Tony. I have no clue.
Oh.
You can see Tony right now. He's literally got his elbows on the table with his hands covering his eyes. Like, oh.
Yeah,
you could just...
It's, Oh, what's the first letter of his first name?
N.
I knew you were going to say that. Nick.
Yeah.
Nikki.
See, and I can, now that you say that, I can recall hearing lines
Nikki.
Where Robert right. De Niro is calling him Nikki.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't never watched the movie all the way through.
I guess.
Yes, you have.
Oh, that's right, you did.
Nikki Santorum.
Santorum, yes.
Yeah, it's a great play on the on his actual name. All right, two more to go. What property did the Griswolds stay at in the movie Vegas Vacation?
Mirage.
Yes.
Thank you for a softball. makes us feel a little good about ourselves.
And lastly, what is the name of the casino Vegas Vic originally advertised for?
Ooh.
Lucky Club.
No, I don't know. No. I want to say Fremont. I know it's not Fremont because he's on the wrong side of the street.
He's on the wrong side of the road.
I'm trying to think.
Could it have been Golden Nugget? It's down
close.
In the vicinity.
That's close. Yeah, you're in the vicinity.
It is in the vicinity, and the cowboy with the Golden Nugget would kind of make sense. Wouldn't have been Four Queens. I'm trying to think what else is there. Although I guess it probably is a casino that isn't there anymore now.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know.
Pioneer Club.
See, yeah. That makes sense.
Good one.
There you go. Another bout of 360 Vegas trivia. This is fun. I really enjoy doing these, putting them together, and then sharing them with you guys.
I will say, I think Tony, I messaged you this when I was listening. So when I knew I wasn't going to be on the show last week, Mark decided to read me off the trivia questions. And I literally was just sitting there looking at him going, I have no fucking clue. I don't know. I like several of the questions. And Tony, you said that's one of the questions, the exact same point that I did. you were like, I have no clue. And I was like, me too. Totally understand. So last week's questions were tough.
They were tough. They were a little.
Well, the funny thing is they were the things that came off the top of my head.
We're not you. Insane.
I know. I'm just it's saying. It is crazy that, because I admit, like, a lot of these, like, I put up, I'm like, oh, nobody's gonna know this shit but you.
Yeah, pretty much. Now he's just showing off.
Right.
I know something you don't know.
Good. Yes. I've craved this format for a long time.
No, this is fun. I highly agree. Frankly, I may try to come up with some of my own.
Ooh.
Can I stump the chump?
Absolutely,
questions.
I love it.
For Mark, Karen, of course, you can play along too. But
well, if you're trying to stump him.
I'm really trying to do it to stump.
Yeah, him. I like it.
All right, so next we're going to roll into some listener feedback. We got a very, very nice and generous PayPal donation from our friend Matthew Downs. What did Matthew have to say, Karen?
So Matthew wrote, karma donation for Vegas trip, April 14th through the 19th. Food, booze, and gambling good times.
Yes, sir. 100% accuracy. Yes, always guaranteed. Works out for you, the karma donation.
And I think what I love most about his statement is he lists three things he wants to do.
Yes.
He wants food. He wants booze. Okay, technically he wants four things
but, yeah.
I think that he considers the food and the booze and the gambling to be...
To create
the
good times. Yes, I agree.
Yes.
I would agree.
And what I love about that, Matthew, is that's exactly what my wife and I go to Vegas for as well. We want to eat incredibly well. We want to drink excessively, and we want to gamble irresponsibly. And for us, that equals
a good time.
Right.
But also, damn, 14th through the 19th. So I assume he flies in on the 14th and departs on the 19th. That means he's going to be in town the night of the 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th. That's 5 nights in Vegas.
Yeah.
That is a lot. That is a lot for the liver and
That's what we used to do.
Yeah, come on. It's a skill. Come on. You can't live that hard. You got to learn how to marathon.
And start
that. You also have
afternoon naps.
Yeah, afternoon naps. You got IVs, you know, in this day and age.
The older I get, the more I have grown to appreciate the afternoon nap. I used to mock our great friend Alistair about him retiring back to his room to take a nap for an hour or two. And now that I'm Alistair.
We should have listened to his wisdom. I mean, he's out there ahead of us, not too far in years, but he's a little bit older, so he's more experienced with this, and we should have trusted him that at a certain age, the naps are not only, fun, but they're kind of necessary sometimes.
Right.
That's right. But that also explains, too, why, Alistair is always able to go further into the evening than I can. I am never embarrassed by calling it a night at, 10, 11 midnight local time. And he's like, oh, come on, you wuss. I don't know. He's 5, 6, 7 years older than I am. He's like, I'm showing you up. And Alistair really does show me up, too. That guy knows how to light the candle at both ends, and I have nothing but respect. So,
I do want to say before we wrap this up, we did have a chance to meet up with a listener over the weekend. Tom, who happens to be a local, met us out for breakfast.
Yeah,
really awesome.
Fun. Yeah.
To get a chance to meet him, and thank you. He did, I guess, his own form of donation. He did buy us breakfast, which was very sweet of him. But really cool dude. Don't know that he. Well, we tried to encourage him to come out to a Vegas vacation. He is an introvert, like so many of our friends and listeners are. So I don't think that's going to happen. But really cool guy. Awesome to meet up with him, and just wanted to say thanks and give him a shout out.
Yeah,
that's very generous. Where'd you guys go have breakfast?
Oh, the Cracked Egg, right by our house.
Is that where you took me and the wife that one time?
The one that's within walking distance?
Yes.
That's the one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Wonderful, wonderful place. That is... Yeah. So, I think there's something special, and we're a couple of minutes early, so I don't mind pontificating about nothing important. I think there's something special to be said about a place that does unique quality breakfasts. You know, in Vegas, it's easy to go out to dinner and do a really unique dinner gastronomy sort of experience. You know, my wife and I were, as a matter of fact, talking about the most recent trip to meat, bizarre meat that we had.
Yeah, the one that you remember?
The one that I do remember, yes. And, you know, and how wonderful that was. But so many places phone in breakfast. And well, to and find a...
we took you to two different places. We took you to the Cracked Egg, which is the one that's in walking distance. And we also took you to a place called Toasted. And I think you actually might have gotten a breakfast burrito at both. But
I probably did. That
Toasted,
like
I think, is a little more creative with their breakfast. The Cracked Egg is definitely a very traditional breakfast lunch spot. It does both, right? Because it's only open till like 2 in the afternoon. But they do have some quality. Like, I actually got the banana walnut pancakes. Holy crap, they were delicious. Mark got a stuffed French toast. What was
it? Are we really talking about what we ate?
Yeah. It was good. To Tony's point,
the point being, Mark, that you know, you just if you can do something unique, for breakfast that's not a run of the mill Denny's omelet sort of.
I'm with you. There's a reason why the Henry's so beloved. I mean, they've got some unique offerings for breakfast.
Yeah, they do.
I love it. That's cool. Well, thank you, Tom. That was nice for you to come hang out. And listen, maybe just sit like on the outskirts and just watch. And if you feel comfortable enough, come in. But
we
get it. We
have had folks that have done that before. That, again, they are introverts, so walking into a group of strangers is not something like to do. No. But we've had folks that, especially during the meetups, you know, we're in a bar or something, and they just kind of plop themselves in the corner and just kind of watch what's going on.
Absolutely. Yeah. We'd love it. Well, all right, gang, I think that's going to do it for episode number 483. Thank you for listening and downloading. We really do appreciate it. If you'd like to check out any of the stories on today's show, you can do so on the blog, which is 360vegaspodcast.com. You can get premium and exclusive content when you subscribe to our show at patreon.com/360vegas, and you can get 360 Vegas shirts, mugs, and anything else that we can slap a logo on at zazzle.com/360vegas. If you'd like to send some feedback, you can do so at 360vegaspodcast@gmail.com.
Tony, where can folks find you?
I am at 360vegastony.
Karen.
I am at 360vegaskaren.
He just told you where you can find me, so until next time.